Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line is somebody who doesn't very, very clearly, I'm certainly on her page, Restaurant Association of South Africa calling for a ban on alcohol sales to be lifted. Joining us is the CEO, Wendy Elbers. Wendy, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good. They're giving me a hard time, Wendy. Like they're implying that I'm an alcoholic, and I'm not. Not once have I been to a meeting.
Look, I think we are sitting in the same boat because I think restaurants have also been painted with a different stigma that we're responsible for the irresponsible behavior of people who do not know how to control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we are simply business owners who have modeled our business over years and years of cultural experiences to bring an offering. And through the pandemic, it's not a time for these type of conversations to be taking place. It is simply a time where we are here to recognize the hardship of what our beautiful restaurant owners are going through and the hundreds of thousands of people that are losing their jobs, that are sitting at home without work, begging to come to work, starving. And really, the overall morale of our total industry is being destroyed on an hourly basis, with an inability for us to trade through this difficult time with no support.
100%. And I think what you started off saying is very important, in that this isn't the time. You don't use a pandemic to pass other laws that might impact on other aspects of the country. And that bothered me when I saw, for example, the photos of Barrack Warneth Hospital empty on New Year's Day. That's incredibly positive. But I realized then that this is going to be the challenge that restaurant owners and the industry faces, because that photo is going to keep coming back. And it's actually got nothing to do with the pandemic at all. I mean, yes, we understand that it was to take pressure off the system. There's no arguing that. But at the same time, people still need to survive, don't they?
You know, we've got to have truthful conversations. You know, there's mm-hmm. all the conversations that take place surrounding maybe things that are not all accurately factual. And I think that there's been a lot of labeling that's been put through over the festive season. You know, I think everybody needs to sit back and really think long and hard about their own behavior through festive season and ask what role they contributed in the numbers rising. I think what we need to do is we need to take a step back. We need to recognize the mistakes that we made by not controlling those numbers. And I'm not only talking about restaurants. I'm talking about us as a country, about the decisions that should have been made to keep the country safe through the festive season.
Mm-hmm.
The beach numbers should have been restricted. The uncontrolled spaces should be managed. The house party should be managed. The number of people allowed to go into a home. Shopping center numbers should have been controlled. The amount of people standing in supermarket queues rushing to buy their groceries over December, 24th, 25th, 26th of December. There were a lot of mistakes that everybody contributed to in not playing their part as South Africans to affect a disciplined and responsible way to slow the curve. And we've taken the brunt for it. You know, I think throughout lockdown, we always used to be South Africa's most loved industry. We are iconic for developing the culture and the landscape of the culinary excellence. We are your corner coffee shop. We are your morning coffee. We are your lunchtime quick grab-and-go salad. We are your family celebrations. We are birthdays, your anniversaries. We're intrinsic of your daily life in South Africa. And throughout lockdown, we've certainly just been fighting for our rights. We've had to remodel our businesses. We've gone from takeaways to bottle stores to coffee shops to not being able to serve dinner time trade to having to become picnic operations. And this is not who we are. This is not what our business is about. And that is an indication to show how committed the beautiful people of this industry have been to keeping the people safe who come into our establishments, to keeping the staff safe, and also to supporting government. And where has it got us? It's got us into a state in January where our industry is decimated. We're on borrowed time. We're on the 11th hour, and we are on our knees begging just for a meeting to collaborate to save our businesses. Surely government should be looking at us, loving our industry, supporting us, acknowledging us for the role and contribution we play. But everything we are doing is in an effort to just have deaf ears fall onto our needs, our requests. How can you stand back and let an industry be destroyed to this level? It's inhumane. It's completely and utterly inhumane. And, you know, as as the leader standing there, I'm heartbroken that the public have left us out in the cold, that they're not supporting us, and that government has certainly not heard our pleas to save our businesses. And we can have all these other broader conversations, but give us an opportunity to open our businesses, give us an opportunity to work.
Absolutely. Magnificently said and very, very moving. Our government, are you not meeting with government on a regular basis? Surely this should have been, this should be something that happens all the time, working together.
You know, it seems to be a very complicated set of mandates that fall within each of the different ministerial divisions. And I think the restaurant model lends itself to fall over different ministerial divisions. So we have to knock on each different ministerial door to get relief in each part of the consequences that challenge the restaurant industry. We went straight to the president's office. We have outlined to the president himself. We wrote a very heartfelt letter indicating where we currently are in this country. And the decimation of the industry rests on the presidency's office. They're aware of where we're at. We called for an urgent meeting. We have explained to them every day is the last straw for many, many businesses. And they've got it. They know what we're asking for. They know what we need. And it's now up to them to do something about it. And if the restaurant industry collapses, that rests on government's shoulders. We've gone to them. We've asked. We've begged for collaboration. We've agreed for support. We've promised to adhere to the protocols and the regulations that are put out there. We've committed to learning from the lessons that came out of the festive season and uncontrolled spaces. We've put proposals together. And we were thankful for the letter, and that's where it ended 2 days ago. And we're back at the union buildings today, back waiting, eloquently waiting for those meetings. We're not here to have arguments. We're here to have solutions and give us the opportunity to talk to you.
Incredible. What is the current status in terms of the law with restaurants?
Well, we have to close our kitchens by 7:30, which disables us from having a dinner time trade. It is a complete death of the dinner time trade. Second to that is obviously the business model that our businesses have been built on is largely on the profitability of alcohol sales. It is not that our businesses are all about alcohol, but the margins that we make on food is so minimal, we need the alcohol margin to support it. And, you know, if we were going to go now and raise our menu price and make it unaffordable for people to eat at our restaurants.
What worries me as well is patterning. And I look at this a lot in the workspace because, you know, had we shut our doors or gone into lockdown for 21 days, things would have got back. They would have kind of been elastic and they would have gotten back to what we considered normal or prior behavior very quickly. But a year and a half down the line, our behavior is being modified completely. And if I look at our own family, whereas, as you said, birthdays, celebrations, often we would love to go out to a restaurant. My wife and I would go out at night, you know, go for a meal. I almost can't remember the last time we've done that. So yes, we'll do takeaways now, but our behavior has completely changed. Now, yes, we still are in the middle of a pandemic and we've just come through a very, very dangerous time. But my concern is how do we get back to a lifestyle that includes supporting this industry?
You know, I think that one thing we need to bear in mind is that we've been here. We were here before. We were here months ago. And we're going to be here again. And this is a situation that is going to be living with us for a very long time to come. You know, we keep looking for tomorrow. We can't just look at tomorrow. We have to look in the future. We can't just be short-sighted and think that tomorrow's solution and the vaccine is just going to solve the issues that we currently have.
We know that's not true. Yeah.
The consideration that's currently taking place is that the direct issues that we should be dealing with is the relativity of the pandemic into putting protocols and regulations in place that can safely open businesses and support the government in saving lives and balancing livelihoods. The challenges that we're dealing with is not related to all these issues. We are now dealing with so many more challenges. And to be a restaurateur today, one, the emotional morale in our physical being is so depleted. We are exhausted from the unknown. We're exhausted from not having timelines. We're exhausted from not having support. You know, we may be quiet, but it is the hardest times for us because the unknown is killing our spirit in being able to come and bringing our businesses back alive.
Well,
events have turned dead on us.
Yeah.
The insurance companies play us for a fool. We can't get consultations with government. We've got this ludicrous National Bargaining Council that's been opened without proper measurements being followed. There's no response put back on that. We can't get TERS. They cut us down in December. They ask us for 2 weeks. Now we're going on to more than a month. You know, these are always the inconsistencies that come through. And we're saying, these are discussions. Let's have it. All these elements,
well, maybe,
you want,
maybe,
transformation.
Wendy, maybe it's, maybe unfortunately, you've got to take a leaf out of other industries' books and not have polite conversations. I wonder what would happen if the whole catering and restaurant industry were to say, that's it. We're downing tools until we know what is going on. I can tell you that, that the lunches at the union buildings, are pretty, pretty sacred as far as many of our ministers are concerned. Concerned. Maybe if all caterers said, that's it, you know, until you take us seriously, we're not doing anything. Let the food rot wherever it is. We're out. Maybe it's time for a more aggressive legal action.
You know, one of the elements, and you know, I respect the health system completely, and I'm no COVID expert. But you know, when we were shut down because the health workers were exhausted, they also forgot that we feed them. So whilst they
Absolutely, that's my point.
They didn't stop once and think the convenience of us just walking into a canteen is part and parcel of the restaurant industry. They didn't for one moment think when they are driving by to collect a meal that's already prepared or to grab their local takeout is a whole part of the holistic industry that's been shut down. We service not only the public, we also serve the public servants.
Right, exactly. That's my point. I just wonder if it isn't time to be a little bit less polite. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I need to be less polite. Lots and lots of messages of support, Wendy, and I do appreciate you coming onto the show and giving us such a real, authentic, and heartfelt view of what is going on in the industry.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.